Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 70, The All-Sufficient Jesus. Enoch Paul delivered this message in the Real Jesus of the Gospel series on April 14th, 2019.
We bless you. We thank you. You are here. Your presence is here. And that you have a deep desire to talk to us. Each person here, sitting here, O Lord, deep in ours. You have a desire to talk to every person listening to the podcast. And I thank you so much that you have taken interest, O Lord, that you desire to. We want to hear as well, Lord. We want to open our hearts and allow your word to get in. Allow what you are saying to go deep. And God, bear fruit, bear good fruit. Lord, I thank you for the word that Pastor Harley gave about the weeds. Truly, Lord, we want to be cognizant. We want to be careful. We want to make sure that the soil of our hearts and our minds are not clouded by those weeds. And so if there are weeds, Father, show it to us so we can uproot it. Root and all. So we can only have the goodness of God bearing good fruit in our lives and through our lives. We thank you for that. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Actually, if you look into your bulletins, the note here about the five loaves and two fish, that's just brilliant. That's for everybody here, but specifically some people here might want to read that and take it to heart. It is very delicious, if I can say that. Really nice. Thank you, Lord. So this morning, we are going to talk about the all-sufficient Jesus. We talked about Jesus the teacher, Jesus the healer, Jesus the servant, Jesus the merciful, and then Jesus the sacrificial lamb. Today, when I asked the Lord, he told me to talk about the all-sufficient Jesus, and he usually springs surprises, which I don't like sometimes. So while I was driving a few weeks back, he gave me this idea, and I said, oh, that's a brilliant idea. And then so I started developing that idea, and as I develop, he'll add a few things here and there. And lo and behold, the night before, he'll just bring it all together. So I'm excited for this message. It's for me, and I'm sure that you will receive something specific from the Lord. So this is the first time I'm going to do it like this. I'm not nervous. I don't get nervous. I'm not entitled to nervousness. But it's the first time God told me to do it this way. And I told him, that's not my style. Yeah, that's what he said. He says, it ain't yours, it's mine. So I said, all righty. I love walking with Jesus because you never know what he does, you know. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you're thinking, this is the way to go. And he's like, there. Oh, the weeds are here. No, pull that thing and everything else will come. Right. Amen. Hey, I have a scripture that the Lord was speaking when Pastor Harley was saying. That's not the sermon, though. If you can turn with me to John 16. Battlefields. We are called as the soldiers of Christ. And we may have things come at us in this world, you know. But there is a promise that he gives to us. I'll read it. This is verse 33, John 16, 33. He's talking about all, you know, how the disciples will all be scattered and, you know, last day, but he says, hey, don't worry, the Father's with me. I'm okay. I'm all right. And he says this in verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering. And that word suffering is troubles, tribulations, frictions, things that kind of stretch you. And I know some of us are being stretched, the season of stretching. Last night, I got really stretched. Yeah. I thought I haven't had like that for a long, long time. That was quite a beating I got. Yeah, I was right in the middle of it. You can ask Tina. We won't go into details. But the Lord came to me while I was sitting and preparing, and he said, "Don't worry, I'll always back you 100%. So go and sit down." I knelt on the chair and I said, "Lord, this has to be you. Because I'm done. I'm a wasted here." And he said, "I'll dictate. You just take notes." That's all I did. "You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. Take heart. I have conquered the world." And so if he conquered the world, you have conquered the world. Which means he's saying, "Don't you worry. Just come along. Sit on me. Take a ride. We'll do some beating up here and there. We'll beat some devils here. We'll fix a few things there, uproot things there. And in the end, you and I will have a good laugh about it." That's my word, but that's not the sermon. Okay. Are you all ready? This is the first time I'm going to do it this way. Okay. So I know you all love to write notes. Now, I'm not saying don't take notes. I asked the Lord to speak about the all-sufficient Jesus since he gave me the topic. It's like, what is this about? Everybody has one specific topic, healer, mercy, you know. I'm thinking all-sufficient, like, are you going to preach from book to cover to cover? So he said, "I am going to do it this way." And I said, "This is interesting." So just a suggestion. Put your pens down, put your notes down. If you really want to take, if you really get something really good, "Oh, I got to take that down." Yeah, you're fine. But rest, relax, take a deep breath. One more time. Three is always completion. One more time. Okay. Relax. I told the Lord, "You got to come and speak." So he said, "I will dictate, you write down." So I have a special guest. I have a special guest again. I said, who better to talk about Jesus than his own daddy? So I sat down and told him, "Have at it." At first he was too funny. I think I said, "Lord, this is very serious." But he said, "Go ahead, write it down." And so I wrote down everything. I've got 3 pages. I want you to receive this as him speaking over you. That's what he told. If you want to take notes, guess what? They're all recording it. You can get a CD.
Amen.
Yeah. You can get a CD, play it. Play it in your car while you're driving. Bathe in it. But I really think it would benefit if you even close your eyes. I know sometimes if I close my eyes, I go into La La Land, dreamland, you know. So if you want to close your eyes, fine. If you want to open your eyes, that's fine. Whatever makes you to relax and just receive. Relax and just receive. You are allowed to walk. You are allowed to walk. You are allowed to stand in a corner. You are allowed to kneel. Whatever makes you, seriously, I'm not joking. You can lay down here as well. Seriously. You are going to hear from God the Father. And he's going to open a few things here and there. Maybe even remove some weeds. Our notions about who Jesus is. And I want you to receive it without any hindrance. Don't worry about the person beside you. If you hear snoring, you have my permission to jab. We are in the healing business, so we'll heal them later. End of the service. So, are you all ready to receive? So, I am going to receive this for myself as I read, but receive this. You cannot come into the presence of God and go empty-handed. How many of you have been to Lambert's Cafe, Missouri? You know Lambert's Cafe? Yes, the throw rolls. Oh my goodness. When I used to eat throw rolls, oh, Lord have mercy. We're going on a tangent. Anyway, when you come out of that restaurant, there's a board. It says, if you leave here hungry, it's not our fault. They don't give you just little. You get filled up on the free stuff they give you. Their salad bowl is this big. It's a bread bowl. Yeah, you can eat it for a whole week. Anyway, the point I'm making is we can't come into God's presence to hear and go back the same way. Something's wrong. Yeah? So receive this. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody relaxed? Everybody, no issues, you know? My bills to be paid? Not now. Oh, that sickness? Not now. I'm just here sitting in front of God the Father, and He is speaking with all of His goodness and love and saying, let me tell you something about my son. Yeah?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Here the I call this the Father's letter to my Father's house. Key scriptures, Revelation 13, verse 8, Song of Solomon's, chapter 5, verse 16, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, Romans chapter 8, verse 32, Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, Acts chapter 17, verse 6, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, John chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 20, Philippians chapter 4, verses 19, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 to 11, Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, and there's a whole bunch of other scriptures in between. Beloved, this is your Heavenly Father. I have tremendous joy and deep appreciation of the fact that you, as a church, are exploring the life, the meaning, purpose, and depth of who my Son, Jesus, is. I am so excited to give you a picture of His work, an accomplishment which we planned together at the foundation of the world. Oh, I want to show you a glimpse of who He is. Not that you do not know Him, but something new, because you will always discover something new as you walk with Him. You know, He is altogether lovely. Beloved, when we decided to create man, we decided to make him in our likeness and image. Yes, that means you as well. I'm sure you know what that means. It means that from the beginning we intended for man to have dominion over all that we created, because man was to be on earth like we were in heaven. We invited him into our community. Oh, what a joyful time we had in that garden, walking together, having deep conversations about anything and everything. No topic off bar. I loved surprising man with the varieties of my creation. The tastes, the sounds, the colors, that shape. I almost had to shut his mouth. He was surprised. Open mouth, gape. It didn't just take him by surprise. He was totally taken up by all the good things I had for him. We wanted to give man an incredible experience of who we are. Beloved, that was my plan from the beginning. The discovery of who we are. We gave him life. We gave him love. We gave him choice. Yes, the greatest gift we could give him was freedom. Beloved, if you were to be fully made in our image, then you must have that same freedom. Freedom is a powerful gift. It can only be enjoyed in us. Outside of us, it cannot exist in its true essence. With that in mind, we decided, before introducing light into the world, that my son, Jesus, would become Emmanuel and save man from the repercussions of exercising that freedom outside of us. You may ask us, how did we know? Did I tell you I was God? I know. You see, exercising that freedom outside of us can lead to sin and bondage. My son Jesus did not for a moment hesitate to step into creation as one among them, giving up all his divine privileges, took on the position of a servant, and was subject to all the toils, pains, sufferings, heartaches, griefs, sorrows, and all the effects of the fallen world, just so that you can experience the riches of heaven. My son became a mere man so that mere men could become sons and daughters of God. Indeed, my son fulfilled that purpose perfectly. I know some of you know that truth. Some of you need that truth to go deeper. And now here you are with us, having a conversation. Let me tell you this, beloved. Before you were born, your redemption was already completed. Now I'd say that's a great deal. You didn't have to labor for it. You didn't have to strive for it. You didn't have to figure it out. You didn't have to search for it. I came. Before you could cry out for rescue, it was provided. Before you sought for it, it was freely given. That means you have no excuse from entering the original place of love, joy, peace, rest, and goodness. Beloved, next time you come across circumstances, the things that the world throws at you, know this, believe this, I already have a place set aside for you. All you have to do is jump along, get on my lap, and just rest. It's a place where you can exercise your power, the dominion, the authority, and your rights as my child. It is a place where you can use the keys of the kingdom to bind what needs to be bound and loose what needs to be loosed. Now that is true power. And I trust you with that. Beloved, you are free to be just like Jesus. Not just that, Jesus made provision for the Holy Spirit to make his habitation in you. We have not only given you ourselves, we have put that power in you. As my son Jesus is full of power and authority, sitting at my right hand, so are you in this world. Beloved, let that truth sink in. Now you are invincible if you get that truth and revelation. I have a question for you, beloved. What would you do with such power and authority? Think about it. What would you do with such power and authority? I know you may be thinking quite a few things, making a list in your minds. I know, that's funny. It's all right. I'm your father, I know it already. Let me tell you what my son did. With that power, he went about doing good and healing all who were harassed and oppressed by the enemy, showing that I was with him. Beloved, do you believe I am with you the same way? Did not my son promise you that he will never leave you and never forsake you, even to the end of the age? Beloved, believe it. Believe it. Beloved, what clear implications do you see in this for yourself? That you also hold those keys, that power, that authority, that dominion that you were originally designed for. What implications do you see in this for yourselves? That's a valid question. I have not called you to just labor for me. I have called you to enjoy my power in you. Let me tell you, it is fun to have all that power. Do you see your potential in this partnership with me? I saw you in my son before anything was ever created, and there I made a choice to select you as my very own. To prepare you, I put you in my son. You now have my permission to turn the world upside down and right side up. Yes, you do have permission. Beloved, there are some implications we need to consider, we need to think about. Most often, I see my children going the way of the world, receiving what the world throws at them, suffering consequences that they need not even look at or face. And they keep begging me. They keep crying out to me for what I've already done. Beloved, if you know the truth, that revelation should set you free, because my truth will not come back void. Let me take you through different implications. First one, the implications for health. I know a lot of my people suffer bodily. Beloved, most people think and believe that because I am spirit, that I put more emphasis on the spiritual things over the physical. A lot of my well-loved children do not exercise and receive the gift of healing that my son already paid for with his blood. If I valued the spiritual over the physical, why would I send my beloved son in a physical body? It would have been easier for me to just send down the spirit. Do you know it is much too incredible to put all of my finite divinity into my infinite divinity into finite flesh? The price for life had to be paid for through the death of my son bodily. It was his body that took the scars of the lashings and nail prints. Beloved, have you wondered why I chose this means of redemption? I saw the redeemed in the future and raised Jesus up before the foundation of the world. So as many as are in my Son can now put on Christ. Beloved, it is important that you understand that now sickness has no power over you. This should be no news. You should know this truth. No disease can come near you. Death has no hold over you. And I am telling you this, that the grave cannot claim you. My Son has nullified the hold of these things over your life. Having canceled the debt on the cross, my Son uttered the powerful words, "It is finished." The people standing by on that day, right next to his cross, remembered the echo of that cry. To me, it was not a cry of desperation. It was a shout of declaration. A declaration that rings throughout history as a sign that man's sins is forever defeated and the power of death broken. In other words, my Son declared, "It is finished and will continue to be finished." You do not have to add anything to it. It is done. Beloved, you can imagine the implications of such a declaration in your own life. If my Son has been raised up bodily and you are clothed in him, you are entitled to the same divine health, healing, and wholeness that he now enjoys. That same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. And that he will quicken your mortal body. You cannot earn it. It is my free gift to you. Now let's look at the implications for wealth, money, provisions. Beloved, did you know that's another area where I desire your indulgence in my riches and in my wealth that I have at your disposal? I need not remind you of who I am. I am your good and loving Father. I prosper my children and cause them to increase in might and possessions. So the world will know that I look after and take care of the welfare of my children. I once supplied my son and Pete, his sidekick, with money for taxes. And I had to send a fish for it. I'm sure you can imagine my conversation with the fish for that task. Beloved, I can do all things. I'm sure you know that. I am God. And I'm the God who blesses you and makes you rich. Without you worrying about how to spend it or how to keep it safe. I'm sure I don't have to suggest how to spend it. In my Son, you have access to the unthinkable treasures and riches of heaven. My Son has many a times given an open invitation to these treasures in the scriptures. He has encouraged you many a times to simply ask in his name. So ask, my beloved, and I will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. I will not only give you the joy of being blessed and prosperous, I'll give you the joy of passing it on to others. Since you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed. I did not spare him either. I gave him abundance, so much that he loved giving to others. Since you are his seed, therefore you can have the promises he had as well. As I would love to say, have at it. all of them. In great measure, I will supply you with abundance, satisfy you with nourishment, increase your resources, and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yep, that's my plan. That's my good plan. I will supply all your needs from my glorious riches. And I'm sure you know how rich I am. Those riches which have been given to you in my Son Jesus. Beloved, my next implication that I want to talk about is wisdom. I see a lot of my children not use wisdom. They lean on their own understanding. And they have some repercussions. But I have given wisdom to you. If you are looking for wisdom, look no further than my Son. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. His wisdom is not like those of the world, which is lofty, divisive, unreasonable, competitive, usurping, and mostly perishing. Instead, his wisdom is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it is very reasonable, it's full of mercy, oh, and it's full of good fruit. It's impartial, and I know for sure it is always sincere. I have united you with my Son for your benefit. I have made my Son to be wisdom itself for you, so you would continue to walk in righteousness, holiness, and deliverance. Beloved, can you imagine the implications of my wisdom working in you? No person shall be able to stand against you. No scheme of man will prevail against it. No circumstance can shake it. You will be steadfast, unmovable, safe, and very influential. If you will look at all of my servants whom I supplied wisdom in the Old Testament, they stood before kings. They ruled. They reigned. They had influence. Those who know me shall do great and mighty deeds, Daniel said. Beloved, the next implication is favor. I know we all seek favor. Beloved, I hope by now you really, truly understand the depth and power of my favor that is upon each one of you in Christ. I put you into the one place you'd always get your needs met. I put you in Christ. I put you into the one place you'd always get your prayers answered. I put you in Christ. I put you in the one place where my heart would always sing to you, yes and amen, again and again. I put you into Christ. I put you into the one place where the enemy cannot touch you. I put you into Christ. I put you into the one place where everything is possible. I put you into Christ. I put you into the one place where all my plans for you are for peace, well-being, and good. And for a future filled with hope, I put you into Christ. Beloved, my divine power has given you everything you need for living a godly life because I put you into Christ. Beloved, my purpose to reveal a glimpse of my Son these ways was so that you could see yourself in a different light. We could go into many other topics, many other subjects. We have eternity for that. But I have given you my word, and that you will find my purpose for all these gifts I have ordained, that you should use them. The more you discover my Son in a deeper way, the more you will discover about your own self. Remember when Peter had that revelation that my son was the true Messiah. And my son declared over him that he would build a church. Upon that, he was saying that the image that Peter received from me, it is in that image that the church will be built. Beloved, what image of God do you possess? What image of my son do you possess? Do you need to tweak it so that you and I are thinking the same? Are there any areas you think that my son is not so sufficient? Beloved, my purpose of opening my heart and revealing this glimpse is not only that you will see my son in a different light as an all-sufficient Savior, but that you would see yourself in a different light. When you see yourself the way I see you, you will become unstoppable. You will walk on water. You will raise the dead. You will put to flight 1,000. Nothing in all this world, nothing from all hell can stand before you, because you have that same power. As my son is in heaven, so are you here in this earth. Of all the people in this world, you are the most blessed. You get to be in my son. That's a privilege in itself. The most favored being in creation is right inside you. When I see you, I see him. He's just a little bit like you. You are just like him. You are just like Jesus. Being in him comes with a host of privileges. His power, his dominion, his authority, his wisdom, his insight, his favor, his health, his wealth, his peace, his rest, his fruits, his gifts, and a whole lot of more. It's all yours. You are no longer allowed to beg for what is already yours, beloved. You need to get up and claim it. Every time, all times, in all seasons, you have my permission. Claim it because it rightfully belongs to you. It is your birthright. Beloved, many a times I see my children cry like the persistent widow, where they should be claiming it like the bride. The world is ready to see my people who know who they are and walk just like my son Jesus here in this world. As I sent my son as an exact reflection of who I am, so I send you to be his reflection. I am believing and I am backing you 100%. You have my word. Always yours, your Heavenly Father. Let's break into groups. And in your bulletin, we have scripture and we have two questions. In light of what you heard, I want you to get deeper in your groups on that first question. Why did the Father put you in Christ? And ask the Lord to say, since I have your mind, can I have the same thought process? Because there's a revelation in that for you all. Why did the Father put you in Christ? And then to the application, if I am in Christ, now that I've settled, I am in Christ, this is the reason, what does that mean In the book of Acts, they had this question, what does this mean and what must I do? That question is valid for almost all things that come at you. If it's sickness comes, what does this mean, Lord? Because I'm not entitled to this. What must I do?
Amen.
What must I bind? What must I lose? There is nothing that comes your way that you do not have a key or keys to unlock or to bind in. Nothing. Nothing. And I have learned in my journey with Jesus, sometimes when there's a problem on here, the solution is on the other side. And that dream is so prophetic. We are all trying to pull the weeds and more weeds come in. Sometimes you feel like, I feel frustrated. I feel exhausted. I feel I'm going to break down. That moment, when that happens, you have to step back and say, what does this mean, Lord? And what must I do? And he'll say, turn around. You see that log down there? Move it. And when you pull, you may not know, but that must be the key to destroying all the weeds. It's a valid question we must ask. If somebody comes and is having the same issue over and over, we need to ask, what's going on? What's happening, Lord? You know why? The Lord loves to partner with you. He's just waiting for you to ask the question. Especially the Holy Spirit. He's jumping all over the place. Ask me, ask me, ask me, ask me, ask me. I know this. I know this. I'm the expert in heaven. I'm the only expert in heaven. Please, ask me, ask me, ask me. I really think he wants a relationship. He says, I'll use your hands to raise the dead. Ask me. I think we need to become those kind of people where we say, what does this mean, Lord? What does this mean, Lord? Many a times when ministering, the Lord will point out to something else. Oh, Lord, that doesn't make sense. They're having this issue. No, try this. Try me. Sure, Lord. And you ask that question, and then it just unravels everything. I think he knows more than us. I'm just saying. In all of my years, I figured like, he's got something up his sleeve. So ask, why did you put me in Christ, Lord? And he may give you a certain insight that the others may not have. So go into that, and then, what does that mean? If I am in Christ, how should I live my life? If you don't see an upgrade in your mind, your thought process, and how you view yourself and the world around you, you want to ask him for that. I guarantee you this. If you walk out of those doors unchanged without an upgrade, we ain't at fault. Amen? All right, let's break into groups and we'll come back in 10, 15 minutes? I guess the music will play. We're going to have a Q&A time. I love Q&A. Because what it helps is everybody can come on the same page. So, question, the first one, why did the Father put you in Christ? Yes. That's where our needs are met.
100%. It's already done in the end.
Amen. Okay. Brilliant. I like that. Yes, sir.
And so that Psalm 91, verse 1 could come to pass. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my
refuge,
my fortress, and Him I will trust.
Trust. Amen. Amen. Hey, I like that secret place. That's the place he has allocated that we can run and, whoo, Lord. Okay. Anybody else?
You bring it to the New Testament, you're seated with him in heavenly places.
Ooh.
If you weren't in him, you couldn't be seated beside
Wow. I love that answer. I love it. Pardon me? Okay. They want you to repeat.
Yeah, from the New Testament, the Bible says we're seated with him in heavenly places. So if we weren't in Christ, we wouldn't be able to be seated beside the Father.
You know, I had this image. This is about 2 weeks back. We had the same discussion. Well, the Lord and I, we were having a quiet time and had the same discussion. And he says that, you know, every now and then I nudge the Son, Jesus, and says, hey, what do you think about that? Look what he's doing. Hey, what do you think about that? And he says, you know, I nudge you too because you're seated right inside him. I said, brilliant. Maybe we need to start walking, talking, behaving because we are right there. Like we are seated in the heavenly places. Amen? All righty. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I was going to say, because he loves us and he desperately wants to be with us.
Yeah. Amen. He loves us and desperately wants to. He chose us. Yes. Yes.
Also, I believe, I know there's many layers, but the one that I really, I don't need that. Thank you.
But for the recording.
I'm sorry.
You're okay. Recording?
Oh, you're recording.
Okay. To pick up the weapons of our warfare and go out and do exploits for the Lord and bring in his promises in the everyday living of our lives. We become warriors.
Amen.
For Christ.
Amen. As such a symbol like marriage. So if anybody comes to attack my wife, guess what? I'm taking him down. You could be 7 feet, 300 pounds, buddy, you're going down. Yeah, kick him wherever, you know. Kicking wherever, you know. Well, the reason is that's mine. You may be strong, but I'm going to kill you. You might destroy me in the end. I'm killing you. You ain't looking at my bride. So if we are in Christ and we are his bride, guess what? That's the safest place. That's the secret place. That's a safe place. Amen? You had something, yes.
Yeah, I think that the Father puts us in Christ so that we can produce thanksgiving to God, so we can worship. Because you said, what does this mean? We look at our situation and we know we're seated with Christ. And what must you do? You must worship God in order to stay in the secret place and find out where you're going and how to be strong.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I was thinking about this, you know, Lucifer was the angel of music and worship and all that came through him. But Jesus says, you know, I like my headphones. I need the music on me. So he put us in him so we can worship in and through him. He doesn't need an angel to supply the music. Just a thought. We worship. We are in him and he is in us. We are one and worship pleases him. Amen?
Amen.
Alrighty. Second one, what are the implications? Now, this could be personal implication too. This could be an upgrade in the way you think, your mindset, or in even the way you see your circumstances. Instead of seeing sickness that's going to come to attack me, we can say, that's what I can practice. Signs, wonders, and miracles, because, hey, Mark, last chapter says, hey, I will do that. Guess what? I'm going to the hospitals, just laying down, you know, just pass by, in the name of Jesus, rise up. Where's the morgue? Let's go there. You know, and they're like, yeah, that would be fun, don't you think? Mm-hmm. I'm not making fun here. We are called to that. Yeah, we should just have a morgue ministry, don't you think, Michelle?
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, what was that? Was it Smith Wigglesworth?
Yes.
Where he would walk and people start rise up? You know, they didn't like Jesus walking through a funeral because all the people were paid to wail and, you know, they're like, yo, here he comes again. There we go. Our advance, everything is gone now because he's going to go raise everybody up. I'm just saying. Implication. If I am in Christ, how should I live? What is one thing that you have discovered? A new way. Yes, ma'am. Here.
I have discovered that since I have a tendency to be a doer, that automatically I would go out and pray and bind and loose. And so now I'm realizing, like, I was busy pulling up all these weeds and not producing much. But I need discernment on where and how, and ask the Father, Father, what would you have me to do about this situation? Because his wisdom is divine and infinite. So that's what I've learned.
That is a sign of a mature child of God. Because we don't just barge into the battlefield. We have to sit back, look at it, assess, ask questions. And how the greatest counselor we got is the Holy Spirit. And he will say, you know, in the Old Testament, we read about David, you know, should I go? It's like, no, don't go now. Like, oh, they're there. Should I go now? Yeah. Or he would say, no, don't go through the front, go to the back. He's a brilliant technician, you know, so we might need some tactics there. Anybody else? Any implications? Yes, Ms. Jane?
That I am to be the one to cast down all vain imaginations that exalts itself above the Word of God, and then I am to replace that with the Word of God.
Ooh, I could speak in tongues. That is your privilege. We are people who tear down every vain thought, imagination that rises up against the knowledge of God. Amen. There will be thoughts. There will be imaginations as long as we are here in this world that will come against you. That's his job. My job is to counter it by taking it captive, tearing it down. And by the way, no idol, Dagon always fell before the ark, right? In the Old Testament, they put the ark in Dagon's temple. He was in pieces. You know, if we have the Spirit of God, we are entitled to do that. We don't receive it. You said, I don't receive it. I don't receive it. Amen. Any implications? Yes.
We should live like him.
We should live like him. Brilliant. You know, maybe the more we get this revelation and the more we walk, maybe we will become that people. Do you know one thing? He just spoke to me. He said, maybe we will hurry up his second coming.
Hallelujah. It says it in the word to hasten his.
Yeah. We're basically saying, we're ready, Lord. The bride's ready, at least in my Father's house.
Amen.
Anybody else? Any implications? New ideas, thoughts, revelations? Brilliant. Wonderful. Let's pray and close this, and let's declare this over ourselves. From today onward, we are the army going out. Now, I know that you can come in and we pray. We need that. I need prayer. We all need prayer. But we don't only come for prayer. We are prayer warriors who go out. I'm going to lay hands on people and pray. I'm going to lay my hands on things and pray. Bring back the dead. And the world is yet to see. By the way, all these signs, wonders, and miracles that we read is happening in the third world countries, in South America, in Africa. They're raising dead people.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.